Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Coming to you live from Gray Hodges in Sevierville, it is the Eric Ainge Show. Good morning, Brian Rice with Eric Ainge, Joel Silverberg. EA taking some time off. Hope to have him back very soon. But we come to you live from Gray Hodges in Sevierville. We continue our tour of the Gray Hodges Customer Appreciation Days. 149 North Henderson Avenue is the address to plug into the GPS if you're up in this area. Because on Customer Appreciation Day, they will have the taco truck coming here in a little bit. And Gray Hodges is your place for all the top brands in kitchen and bath fixtures, plumbing supplies, cabinetry, Timberlake cabinets, options to fit all price ranges, built to order from the best and only green certified materials. And we are right here in their design studio here at the Sevierville location. You can come in and see all of the options that you can get in Timberlake cabinets. Also great brands like Whirlpool bathtubs, Delta faucets, KitchenAid, Moen, many more. Over 7 decades in business. That is Gray Hodges, locally owned, employee owned Gray Hodges. And thanks to Timberlake cabinets for helping us get out here and make our tour of the Customer Appreciation Days. Eric Kane, good morning to you back in Knoxville at the Budweiser Studios. It's Wednesday, it's hump day. I think we finally turned the corner on Kentucky and now focused fully on the Alabama Crimson Tide on Saturday.
Yay. Yay. Let's look forward to facing that offense. So much talent there. But hey, did you get 2 hours of warm up this morning?
I did. Okay. 2 hours of news talk this morning, and then hopped in the car and drove to Sevierville. Had made it here plenty of time and ready to go. So
good, man. We're ready. There's no excuse for us today.
No, been rolling, fired up, ready to go. Let's take a look at the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
All right. Cade Mays spoke out on his move to Tennessee yesterday. I have a couple of clips we're going to play for you coming up next segment on those, as he talked about things that happened and the things that he experienced transferring to Tennessee. It was good to hear from Cade, and I believe this is the first time we heard from him other than through social media since he's been at Tennessee.
Yeah, first time. And again, he transferred to Tennessee, I guess it was, you know, January, February. It was winter. It was before spring practice, that's for sure. So first time that the media's had a chance to catch up with him. And he said a lot of good things, said that he's happy to be at Tennessee, and we'll break it all down. When he gave his answer on Georgia, you know, he was hesitant. He was trying to find the right words to say, and we'll kind of go over that and hear that later on. But again, it was good to hear from Cade Mays, and a junior, now again a Knoxville native, and he again met with the media for the very first time yesterday. Hopefully that will be a reoccurring thing.
Yeah, good to hear from him and some of his thoughts on what he's had to go through and getting ready and feeling ready to play for Tennessee this year. A week ago today, it was announced that Florida was shut down, or actually a week ago yesterday, that Florida had shut down its football program, football activities, because of their coronavirus outbreak. A week into the shutdown, they are still paused. They've had more than 20 positive tests. Things are still, and that doesn't include members of the coaching staff, things are still not going well down in Gainesville when it comes to this COVID outbreak.
Listen, this thing can change by the day, and we've seen that, but correct me if I'm wrong. Someone, maybe it was national media, someone was bragging about how Florida was doing such a good job compared to Tennessee back in the preseason. Dan Mullen?
Yeah. Dan Mullen talked about it the last couple of weeks. I don't recall in the preseason, but yeah, when Tennessee was having its positives during fall camp,
yeah,
Tennessee was taking it on the chin a little bit. And other places, well, if all these other places are doing it right, why are you not? Well, now the shoe's kind of on the other foot.
Yeah, and you hope they can get that under control. It's good for Florida that it's not in action this weekend. Of course, had to do some shuffling around with the schedule, but 20 cases, a little high. I'm sure there's probably more that are out due to contact tracing, and certainly if they had a game on Saturday, wouldn't be in good position.
Would not be what they were looking for.
No.
We'll talk about the number of positive tests. It's really a stunning number, especially when you consider Florida's not having on-campus classes right now, according to reports that I've seen in connection to this outbreak. So this is about what's happening in their program. And, of course, Dan Mullen, it was announced this past Saturday, tested positive as well. We'll run through some of the interesting stats from last weekend college football. We'll have our VFL and the NFL update. Shuffling things around a little bit, we're going to have the big topic in the 11 o'clock hour, because at 10:15, we're going to be joined by Roger Hoover of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield. He, former Tennessee grad, known to our listeners in the Tri-Cities as a Kingsport guy, former voice of the Jacksonville Suns. So Roger
made
will join us.
Made a stop at Carson Newman.
Yeah, that's right.
Women's basketball boys for a little bit.
Yeah, including when they had their exhibition games at Tennessee.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be good to catch up with Hoover and get some insight on the Crimson Tide. We know it's a really good team. We know it's a really talented team. Where are they? What are some of the challenges that they've faced as they go into this matchup with Tennessee? Kander, you spoke for Rivals.com and VolQuest to one of Tennessee's defensive line commits who had to reaffirm after the coaching change at that position. Second time he's had a position coaching change since he's been a Tennessee commit.
Yeah, so I spoke to Isaac Washington on Monday night, and if you remember back in March, so he committed initially in the early winter. Tracy Rocker departs, he decommits. He comes and meets with Jimmy Brumbaugh the first day, meeting him, said, okay, I'm back on track. I'm going to commit again. Tennessee gets rid of Jimmy Brumbaugh. He tweets out, bruh, not again. And so I thought I'd give him a call, talk to him. Some good news there on that front. Also, last night, spoke with another defensive tackle commit from the Baltimore, Maryland area in Catron Evans. Also good news on that front as well. So I thought, obviously, with kind of my side hustle with Rivals, that whenever there's a position coach and a key recruiter for a specific position and they're let go, how could that affect some recruiting, especially the commits that Tennessee has locked in for this 2021 class? And so I was diving into that a little bit, but so far so good for the Volunteers.
We'll talk about in our big topic coming up at 11, who starts at quarterback for Tennessee and why? Who do you want to see and why? It's got to be a little quantification for that as we get into the 11 o'clock hour. That'll be our big topic coming up. The Dolphins are going with Tua Tagovailoa after their off week. No more Fitzmagic. Fitzmagic has gone to the shelf.
That's surprising to me. I mean, yes, Tua is the future. Everyone wants to see Tua play. I want to see Tua play. Tua's fun to watch. But we're in an age now to where you have to rush in these rookie quarterbacks. And Justin Herbert's understandable. But, that draft class with five quarterbacks in the first round a couple of years ago, hadn't fared well for some of them, for over half of them, really, or for a couple of them. Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing well right now, and that division is very much attainable. There's an extra playoff seed this year. I think it's a little bit too early, but still, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's going to have a vital role in continuing the development of Tua now just from a backup role.
I heard a national radio guy over the weekend say, now's probably the time to pull Fitzmagic before he crashes down.
Maybe so.
So
there's a lot of peaks and valleys in his career.
get him out while he's still playing well, and if he has to come back in later, maybe the fall off won't be there. All of that and more coming up today on the EA Show, and that's the game plan. It's laid out for you every day by 42nd Street. 42SD.com is where you go to find out more about our friends at 42nd Street, from logo design, web design, marketing, branding, helping you as a business or an event or a festival, whatever it is. They're helping you attract customers, helping you attract business, because they are a small business in the business of helping other small businesses, but they've done it for businesses on a large scale as well. Talk to Mike and his crew, 42SD.com. The Hurricane Show continues next. We're live here at Gray Hodges in Sevierville on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome in to the EA Show, coming to you live from Gray Hodges here in Sevierville, here thanks to Timberlake Cabinets for Customer Appreciation Day. Timberlake, with options to fit all price ranges, built to order from the best and only green certified materials. Great
locally owned, employee owned. You're always doing business with an owner here at Gray Hodges. Four locations, downtown Knoxville, West Knoxville, Alcoa, and Sevierville. And we are here for Customer Appreciation Day in Sevierville. Looking forward to having a little taco truck coming up starting at 11. You can't go wrong with taco truck.
Taco Wednesday? Question mark?
Yeah. Taco every day.
It still works.
Taco every day. Cade Mays spoke out on his move to Tennessee yesterday. Let's just go ahead and hear from Cade Mays and react to where he goes from there as we listen to Cade Mays.
You know, it wasn't the right environment for me. I made some great memories there. You know, I've got friends for life down there. It just wasn't the right environment for me. So, you know, I obviously transferred and now I'm here and, you know, I'm happy with where I am.
Can you elaborate at all on why it wasn't a good fit for you there?
Yeah, you know, there was just things that, you know, were not that, you know, were not really things that just weren't like, it wasn't really for me, you know? And so, you know, I felt like I had to transfer. And so I did so, and now I'm happy with where I am.
I get it. I would have. How do I want to say this? I don't want to come after Cade Mays, certainly, because, first of all, he's a huge human being, but also think a lot of him from his time at Catholic.
I'm in that boat as well. I think a prepared statement should have been made.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You've had all offseason. You knew you were going to be asked that question.
Yeah.
And in saying that, too, he probably hadn't spoken to the media since. I mean, I don't know how often he spoke at Georgia, but if he spoke the last available time he could speak would have been Sugar Bowl week. And so that's been a long time. You know, he's still only, what, a 21-year-old. Sometimes, you know, kids, you know, we see it all the time on the show whenever you put someone on the spot. And, you know, we see it on the game every in the mornings whenever we play the game, callers will call in and they're like, I know it. It's just you're put on the spot like that and you don't really know what to say. So there could be a lot of contributing factors, but I'm with you kind of. I feel like you knew that question was coming for sure. So as soon as you finally got behind the microphone, you know, I thought a rattled off statement that he probably had memorized would come out. But, you know, that's what we got yesterday. And, of course, it was still kind of hard for him to put into words exactly what happened and how it happened. But he did say a couple times he's very, very happy to be here.
You know, I would have liked a confident, clear response and just – and then you move on. And you know, you kind of leave a statement that doesn't really have invite follow-up questions. You know, and look, I don't – he's had to navigate this with – people speaking on his behalf, his attorney speaking on his behalf, his schools speaking on his behalf, because that's the way the process is lined up. And his coach has been asked about it. His former coach was asked about it. And all of those answers are going to be a little different. They're all going to have a little different angle. I would have liked a clear, here's what, it, you know, I didn't feel like it was the right environment for me. I understand that makes people at Georgia unhappy. I don't really want to get into all the reasons because it's a personal decision, but it just wasn't the right place for me, and I felt like I needed to get back here to my home and play football at the highest level here. If he said that, that doesn't leave any room for follow-up. It doesn't leave any room for, well, can you dig deeper? No, I want to leave it there.
Yeah. I'm
appreciative of my time at Georgia. Appreciate the opportunity to play here at Tennessee.
And, you know, maybe he had something like that scripted up ready to roll and then just kind of froze.
Yeah, all that happens, absolutely.
Yeah, it all happens. We all know that. And certainly, again, this is, I mean, these are student-athletes. These are young guys. I mean, they're not necessarily used to being in front of cameras and microphones and all that. Now, the more you do it, the more and more and more he becomes at ease. I mean, Henry Toltz was at ease now, of course, Garantano. I mean, some of these student-athletes that we talked to are very, very great speakers, and they've improved over time. Brandon Kennedy. I'm kind of going off subject here, but 2 years ago when Brandon Kennedy was first, you know, brought out to us in the media, man, his questions were short, concise, didn't give you a whole lot. And now Brandon Kennedy's one of the better, you know, spokesmen for the team right now. So, you know, it could be all those things, but I'm kind of with you. It's one of those, it could have been as simple as, hey, I don't really want to get into it. Obviously there's, it's just personal for me, but I will say just wasn't the right place for me. I enjoyed my time there. I love my teammates down there, my former teammates, but I'm really happy to be here, and with that, I'm just going to leave it at that. And that's kind of all he had to say. But we got a Cade Mays that was really struggling just to find you could tell he didn't want to say the wrong thing. And so he was being very, very decisive with what he exactly wanted to say. And it just took a little while to come out.
He also was asked about how often the offensive line rotates, which we've seen to varying degrees through the four games this year. I think probably saw a little more rotation the first two games, a little less the last two. But he was asked about how the offensive line rotation is affecting how they play together.
Yeah, and for that, he went on and said, I'm not concerned about where I'm going to play, because the question started out with, you know, Cade, you play left tackle, you play right tackle, you play right guard. He said, I kind of take pride in being able to play all those positions, but kind of a weird ending there. He went on to say, I don't think it's, you don't necessarily have to have the same five guys out on the field at one time. And he said something like this. We can hear the audio right here, but it was kind of a surprising ending here from Cade Mays.
Yeah, you know, my whole college experience, I played all five positions on the line. So, you know, I've kind of embraced being able to play all five positions, and, you know, wherever I am on the field, you know, I just try to put forth my best effort and help the guys around me. So, you know, I'm not really concerned with moving around and stuff. I don't think you necessarily need five guys all the time on the field, you know. Just like the defense does, they run in different guys on different packages, playing different positions. I think it also confuses the defense and messes them up going against, you know, maybe me here one series, I'm here the next series, you know, guys moving around and stuff. So I think it's a good little change of continuity.
So that's surprising for you to hear that, because, I mean, I'm in the camp, and I think the majority of anybody that watches football is in the camp that, hey, there are positions on the football field to where you want depth, and you want depth everywhere, but you want a mixture of players, a rotation of players. But the offensive line and the quarterback are two spots on the field. It's like, hey, let's bring our five out here. Let's bring our one quarterback out here, and let's roll. I was a little surprised to hear that, but obviously Cade Mays is the guy that's playing football at a very high level, so he might know more than me.
You know, I think there is something to, particularly on the offensive line, having five guys that play five positions, and you want to roll with that, and you want to let them, you know, get that chemistry of knowing how the guy next to you is going to react and what the guy next to you is going to do in every situation. I also understand wanting to have guys that can rotate in and out so your big-time offensive line is fresh in the fourth quarter when you're ready to impose your will on somebody. So I understand both sides of it. I think they probably rotated more than I thought they would. But also you want to get good football players in the game, and you want to put out what you feel like is your best five on every drive, and that may not be the same five every drive. But, you know, over the years at Tennessee with a variety of different offensive schemes, a variety of different offensive line coaches, a variety, unfortunately, at this point, of different head coaches, we've seen different philosophies on that. And I think when Tennessee has had the most consistent play on the offensive line, it has been when you've had a left tackle, left guard, center, right tackle, and those are where they play, and that's what they do. You know, we've had coaches that wanted to flip-flop linemen playing on the left and right side, depending on what formation they're in, depending on what game it is. I look to the NFL where you have five guys that play five positions, yep, and you just go from there. And if you have to change it because of injuries, you have to change it because somebody's not playing well or somebody else is playing better, that's fine. If you want to plug in other guys on drives to, you know, if you have one super sub that was like Cade Mays was at Georgia, mm-hmm, you plug him in anywhere, either as a starter or in relief as you're going on these long drives or the game's going along, that's fine. But I think the more continuity you have, probably the better. And that's my opinion based on seeing it be done both ways at Tennessee. And it clearly seems to work better that way, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, that's football. I mean, every football program I've ever been a part of, whether playing, covering, helping out, coaching, whatever it may be, I mean, that's how football's always worked for me. And that's my understanding of it. And you mentioned you look at the NFL, that's how they do it. So, I mean, that's kind of football. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with it right now. Jeremy Pruitt has said early on in the season, because of all the missed practices and so many guys out due to quarantine, that he didn't believe his offensive line was in shape enough to play an entire game right now. Well, I somewhat understand that, but now I don't. You're four games in, you got to let it ride. But anyway, moving on. To your point, there's no reason to you can plug and play every now and then, but you know, the thing for me is Tennessee, and I'll be brief, I know we're up against it. Tennessee marched down the field 12 plays, 75 yards, and ran the football down Kentucky's throat on its only scoring drive on Saturday. And the next offensive series, you had two guys out there that weren't out there on the offensive line for that series. What are we doing there? Why? I mean, that makes no sense in my opinion. So anyway, I think that Tennessee's working towards getting five. That's football. I think they want five. But right now, with the inconsistencies at tackles, they might not be afforded that luxury right now, just to be completely honest. And I don't think they are.
All right, welcome back. 656-9900-866-656-9900. If you want to join us here on the EA show, when we return, we go down to Gainesville, and you should put on a mask and sanitize your hands, because we are talking about the Gators outbreak next on the EA show.
Wait.
Welcome back into the EA show. FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Ryan Rice, Eric Gaines, Joel Silverberg this morning. Florida has continued to deal with its COVID-19 outbreak. The Florida football team has reported 25 new positive COVID-19 tests in the past week. 2 weeks ago, Florida's Tuesday afternoon update had one positive test in the 178 tests that they had done in October. There were five last week, 25 more this week. So this month, Florida has had 31 cases of COVID-19. Since they returned to campus in May, 62 Florida football players have tested positive. Those figures do not include coaches or support staff. Dan Mullen announced Saturday that he's self-isolating after a positive test. Two other assistant coaches have tested positive as well, according to Dan Mullen on Saturday. If the game had remained as scheduled last week, they would have had fewer than 50 scholarship players available. They will now play LSU on December 12th, and Missouri will now play Florida next week rather than this coming week. This is possibly the biggest outbreak we've seen among a team, certainly the biggest in season that we've seen thus far.
Yeah, biggest in season for sure. I mean, of course, we're never going to know exactly the totals, especially here for Tennessee, because it's been so hush-hush. I mean, as we know, during fall camp, Tennessee was missing upwards of 50 players at a time for consecutive practices there, and they had to push practices around. I think they only got in 22 of the allotted practices during fall camp because they had to cancel so many. And so don't know exactly how many, but, you know, Tennessee had a lot during preseason. Florida has a lot right now during the season, and it's just the thing about this virus. It doesn't care when, how, what time of the year it is. When it hits, and it's just a petri dish, man. And when you're in a locker room, when you're in a weight room, when you're on a practice field, I mean, you know, student athletes are just constantly always around each other. So it just takes one, and unfortunately, it sparks up like wildfire, and that's what's happening with Florida right now. But it is good that, you know, on Friday, when they came up with the scheduling changes, I thought it might have been a little premature that they went ahead and moved around so Florida would be off this week as well. It's a good thing they did that, because, as you pointed out, Florida would not be able to play.
Yeah, it turns out that was a great decision.
Yeah, for sure.
But 62 players. Why am I
making those decisions?
Yeah, 62 players have tested positive, which means now you don't know if those are all scholarship guys or if they're walk-ons or what, but you have 85 guys on scholarship. You probably have about 100 guys in your program. That's you're edging on herd immunity, which is something you want to get from a vaccine and not necessarily from everybody getting it.
Yeah.
And there's no word on if anybody has had any serious cases. Haven't heard that one way or another. I know some SEC schools dealt with some serious cases back in the spring and summer, but we haven't heard of real serious cases here in the fall. I think that's a factor of identifying it early and knowing what to do and knowing best practices for getting after it quickly. But, you certainly hope that everybody's all right there and that Florida's able to get back on track, because as we've seen this college football season, it's not as fun of a season when everybody isn't out there and when people are having to deal with this.
No, it's not. It's not at all. And, again, it goes back to, you don't care if these kids are playing for your rival school or not. I mean, these are 18 to 22 year olds getting a once in a lifetime opportunity to play college football. And, you know, it's you know, breaks your heart that you have to be forced out of practices and games a lot of times. How this year, I'm just thankful that the year is happening. Don't get me wrong, but how it's still looking so different and shuffled around. So, you know, whether this is happening at Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, wherever, it sucks, really. Bron, real quick, correct me if I'm wrong, and I could be way off here, but I'm pretty sure I remember Jeremy Pruitt saying during one of his press availabilities during camp that the asymptomatic players could come in and there was a regimen to where they could continue to train. They weren't practicing, but they could continue to condition and get some work in that way so that they weren't just completely far behind, you know, when they were back out on the practice field. I believe he said that there was a way that those type of players, the asymptomatic players, could come in and get some work in. Do you remember him saying something like that?
Yeah, it seems like I do. I don't know what that procedure was.
Neither do I.
If that ended up working out the way he thought. But yeah.
You hope that's the case for Florida, at least, is what I'm putting out. You hope that there's a way that some of these players can continue to be putting in some work somehow, albeit not on the practice field, so they're not just off for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I would, you know, for them, obviously, coming back, they're going to have Missouri as their first game on Halloween. And then after that, they're looking at Georgia, then Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Tennessee, and LSU. It's a tough grind for Florida from here. They will, after two straight off weeks, having played three games, they will now have to play the remaining seven games on their schedule. They hope that they're playing an eighth in the SEC championship game.
And Bazelak might throw all over him game one when they're back. I mean, I think he's going to be good, man.
Yeah, and that Florida defense has not been great.
Exactly.
Missouri can put up some yards. And then I think the Florida-Georgia game on November 7th is the one that I'm looking forward to most in that stretch, because I think the great offense of Florida, the great defense of Georgia, what's the deciding factor there?
Mm-hmm.
Can Georgia outscore them? And so, you know, I want Florida to come back at full strength because I want to see those games. I want Tennessee to go down there and have their or welcome them up here, I should say, and have the opportunity to beat them when they're playing at their best. So, you know, that's not everybody may necessarily agree with that, particularly with how Tennessee has played the last couple of weeks. You might not necessarily want to face somebody at full strength, but I think it's ultimately the fun way to play some of these games. You don't want to win because somebody was at half strength. And so you hope that Florida gets back to it. But I would say it's going to take them a couple of weeks to get back in the flow of things the way they would want to. And they're hoping that they're able to do that just in time for that Georgia game in 2 weeks on November the 7th. So,
biggest game on the schedule.
It is. No, Kaner. The biggest game on your schedule is always the next one.
No, I knew you were going to say that. No coach talk here.
Just ask any head coach. We'll come back here on the EA show. Wrap up hour number one on the other side with some of the interesting stats from Week 7 in college football. We'll take your phone calls as well at 656-9900, 866-656-9900. Tim, hang on. We're coming to you on the other side as we return to Gray Hodges in Sevierville. We're here thanks to Timberlake Cabinets on the Sports Animal. Welcome back into the EA show, coming to you live from Gray Hodges in Sevierville. Right now we go to the hotline, though. Joey heard the cue to call. It's time to play Score a Ford, thanks to our good friends at Ted Russell Ford. Joey, good morning. Thanks for calling. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you for your prediction for Tennessee and Alabama this Saturday. If your prediction is the one that's selected at random on Friday, you'll get a free oil change to Ted Russell Ford and a $50 gift card to Phoenix Conversions. And then if your score is correct on Saturday, Andy White will hand you the keys to a new Ford F-150 valued around $45,000 from our good friends at Ted Russell Ford. Joey, what do you think? It's okay if you pick with your head and not your heart, because the truck's on the line.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go 45-9 Alabama. I don't think we can score anything other than a field goal.
45-9. Joey, I will not like that score on Saturday, but if it is the score and your prediction's the one up, I will at least take some solace in that you're riding around town in a brand new Ford F-150.
Oh, I won't like it either. I hope it's reversed, but I just don't think I don't our offense ain't clicking too good.
No, it's not.
Well, Joey, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you calling in. Good luck to you this weekend, and that's how we play score forward.
Tell you what, if Tennessee's offense fails to find the end zone, things will be going from bad to worse here in Knoxville the following week. I can guarantee that.
It will be a long 2 weeks inside that football complex before they go to play Arkansas in Fayetteville. Let's go to the phones at 656-9900. Tim is up next. Tim, welcome into the EA show.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I wanted to call this morning. You all are in my neck of the woods today over there at Grace Hodges this morning and stuff.
Come on down and have lunch. Customer Appreciation Day starts at 11, and even if you're a future customer, come on down and have lunch with us.
Of course, I have done before. I was there, I think, about a year or so ago, I think, when you had Eric down there, I think it was.
Yeah.
And you guys were doing the same thing. So it's a great little place, and they do great work down there, so I'm not going to harbor them at all. They do real good, so you're in a good place.
Awesome.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know about the football team and stuff. I would hate for us to not score a touchdown at all during that Alabama game. It would be a tough 2 weeks around Knoxville, that's for sure. Has there been any word about the other quarterback, Bron Maurer? Is he working out at all? Is he able to work out at all? Do you know?
Yeah, so Bron,
he is.
Go ahead, Bron.
I was going to say Jeremy Pruitt talked on Monday that he had taken snaps in the scrimmage that they had on Sunday night, but beyond that, Kaner, he was dealing with that hamstring injury, and it kept him out for longer in camp than they would have hoped.
Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt said after the game that he missed so much time during camp because he's been banged up, but he did not appear in the game Saturday, but he did play in a live scrimmage the day after, so looks like he is available. He is healthy enough to play, and so I would assume that he'd be getting some reps in practice this week.
Okay, I was just wondering, because like I said, it's not really been the same since he was in that game. Was that not the game in Alabama he was in before, and he had the concussion, and they was kind of like on the sideline, he wanted to go back in, and they didn't really want to.
One of the concussions he got, yeah. But, yes, he did get knocked out with a concussion that game.
Because he was sitting on the sideline kind of like, okay, you don't want to go back in? I feel good. Let me go back in. They said, no, we can't let you go back in. So I'm just kind of wondering. It's like it's not really been the same since that point. Does that seem fair to you at all?
I don't think that's unfair. I think, you know, with head injuries, they affect people in different ways. I think one of the problems that Bron Maurer had last year was he suffered those injuries but very quickly cleared the typical side effects from them. And so you're cleared to go back in, but clearing the side effects doesn't mean that you're not susceptible to having another concussion right away. And ultimately, you know, schools and teams now have to save guys from themselves, especially guys like Maurer that seem to spring back from a symptom standpoint right away, but still may not be ready to get out there and take another blow to the head.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I just wanted to mention that stuff and everything. I also wanted to give a shout to Vince Ferrara. He does a good job with the MMA thing on Thursdays. He does real well. But still, I wanted to help get a little talk about my girl from Brazil, Gabby Garcia. She is a major force over there, and I'm hoping she comes over here and fights a little bit with the girls, because she is tearing some people up over there. 6'2", 240, she's a beast.
I'm hoping
he makes her stuff and everything. So she needs to come over here and fight some people and get some belts put on her, you know, put some straps on that girl. So.
All right. Well, Vince is our expert, and MMA radio every Thursday night, and you can hear it here on the Sports Animal.
Yep.
Hey,
Tim, thanks so much.
Oh, sorry, I cut Tim off there.
We appreciate it, Tim.
Yeah.
That's Kaner that pushed the button to cut you off early. Sorry.
Sorry, Tim, cut you off there. I was going to say, Vince, yeah, he's had a couple, good interviews on there the last couple times I've tuned in. So MMA in the Cage Radio every Thursday.
I know less than zero about him. Yes.
Okay.
I know less than zero about MMA, but Vince is the expert and has been for a long time since he arrived in the market back in late part of last decade.
Yeah, I have no knowledge of it, but I don't have much knowledge on anything. So, to be fair,
I know there's a lot of UFC on ESPN Plus.
Yep,
see it all the time. Tim, we appreciate it. We return here to Gray Hodges coming up at on the other side. We'll have our VFL and the NFL update. Roger Hoover from Crimson Tide Sports Network joins us coming up at 10:15. I have time for your phone calls as well. Live from Gray Hodges in Sevierville, this is the Eric Ames Show, the Sports Animal.